to give to the Minister of Social Development, Minister Bathabile Dlamini, to take us through the statement, and only after that we'll take questions. I give over to Minister Dlamini.
Program Director. Yes. Honorable Ministers, Deputy Minister, Directors General, Senior Managers, Members of the Media, Ladies and Gentlemen. In his State of the Nation address, President Jacob Zuma declared 2017 the year of Oliver Reginald Tambo, as we mark a centenary of his birth. O.R. Tambo contributed immensely to a society we live in today, and he played a key role in shaping the vision and aspirations of a democratic South Africa based on equality, unity, and human rights. In celebrating Tambo's contribution to our freedom, we will highlight one of the key attributes of his life and character each month until October, the month of his birth. Government will host various events around the country and will commence with a lecture on the Law Masterclass of 2017 opening ceremony guided by the theme O.R. Tambo's Impact on South Africa's Constitution and Legal Fraternity. The O.R. Tambo Centenary National Celebration Program on 27 October will include wreath laying and plaque unveiling ceremony, which is coordinated by the South African Heritage Resource Agency. His statue will also be unveiled at his birthplace, Mbizana, Eastern Cape, on the same day. These events will culminate into a panel of discussion on leaders that have led collectively with Oliver Reginald Tambo. Arts, culture, and heritage sector has a strategic role in social and economic development. The sector has the potential to contribute to job creation, reduction of poverty, and the eradication of inequality. The Department of Arts and Culture has, over the past few years, undertaken a review of the arts, culture, and heritage white paper. The revised policy framework highlights the fundamental right of all citizens to access and participation in the arts, culture, and heritage. The draft paper is aligned to the National Development Plan, Vision 2030, as well as the National Strategy on Nation Building and Social Cohesion. In order to transform and reposition the sector, a multidimensional model based on diverse knowledge systems and traditions with an African focus is also outlined in the revised draft policy framework. The department will this year table the white paper in Parliament and follow all parliamentary processes. Program Director, the NDP emphasizes that South Africa needs to build a more equitable society where opportunity is not defined by race, gender, class, or religion. As we continue to fight the scourge of racism and build a united nation, our social cohesion community dialogues will continue to take place to bridge divisions among communities. These dialogues will culminate in a national gathering in the Social Compact in 2017 with an aim to reach a social compact for nation building, social cohesion, and fighting racism. Government recognizes youth as an important sector of society that can help in initiating nation building and social cohesion. In partnership with the National Youth Development Agency, the Department of Arts and Culture is leading a Young Patriots program centered on shaping and empowering the youth about their history, heritage, arts, and culture as instruments for building their nation and fostering national identity. South Africa is an integral part of the African continent, which advocates for a peaceful, vibrant, and sustainable Africa. As Minister of Home Affairs pronounced a few days ago, government discouraged recent outbreaks of violence and is deeply concerned about the loss of lives or damage to property. Part of our effort to unite African people, government, in collaboration with the Minister of Culture of Algeria and Gabon, will this year launch Cultural Seasons. The program is aimed at showcasing South Africa's artistic talent, create an intercultural and intergenerational dialogue between the two countries, strengthen cultural relations. The seasons will also promote cultural diplomacy as part of government's broader socio-economic agenda. The shared love for sport continues to unite all South Africans and hoist the country's flag high internationally. Sport and Recreation South Africa will continue to present the Big Walk and National Recreation Day scheduled for October as one of its flagship programs to encourage South Africans to lead active and healthy lifestyles. Community outdoor gyms and children's play parks program will be rolled out during the course of the year with the aim of getting people active in local communities. These outdoor facilities or gyms will be accessible to all so as to promote social interactions and social cohesion. Traditional leaders have a crucial role to play in uniting communities around the country's goals, including social cohesion and nation building. The President of the Republic of South Africa, His Excellency Mr. J.G. Zuma, will, in terms of Section 18.1b of the National House of Traditional Leaders Act 2009, deliver his annual address on the 3rd of March 2017. The address of the President will mark the official opening of the House of Traditional Leaders, which is celebrating 20 years since it was constituted. Emanating from the annual address, a program of action will be developed and implemented by the House and Development of Traditional Affairs. Initiation schools remain one of the main cultural practices that South Africans still embrace. However, many young men who undertake this important cultural journey continue to lose their lives and others sustain serious injuries. During the 2016-2017 summer initiation period, approximately 40 deaths were reported, with 29 from the Eastern Cape. The Department of Traditional Affairs continues to engage all stakeholders and role players in an effort to ensure that we save lives in line with our Zero Deaths campaign. We urge parents, legal guardians, potential initiates, traditional leaders and healers, as well as all stakeholders across the country, to work towards ensuring that this important traditional practice is safer. Government will continue to close any identified illegal initiation school, and we appeal to communities to report such illegal activities to the police. In our effort to move South Africa towards universal health coverage, the Department of Health is leading NHI, which seeks to ensure that all, irrespective of their socioeconomic status, have access to health care. NHI is driven by three main pillars, namely prevention of disease, promotion of health, and entry to healthcare systems at the primary lowest level. We have learned that the NHI pilot, since its launch in 2012, and with these lessons, we are confident to take its implementation to the next level. We have established district specialist teams to supervise doctors in each district and further contracted GPs to work in public clinics. We have also learned that we also need to contract allied healthcare professionals like physiotherapists, speech therapists, oral hygienists, occupational therapists, psychologists, optometrists, etc. Other achievements entail finalization of infrastructural needs for all 700 health facilities, as well as refurbishment and backlog maintenance. Primary health worker teams have visited more than 4 million households to check their health status. The following are the critical stages for the successful implementation of NHI. Establishment of NHI fund, including reviewing other relevant legislation and intergovernmental functions and fiscal framework that will impact in the implementation of NHI. Reviewing all the subsidies that medical scheme members receive from the fiscus. Consolidating present medical aid schemes into a few and then eventually one funding pool. Making sure that healthcare system is reoriented so that its heartbeat, as mentioned in the white paper on NHI, is primary healthcare. Preparation for purchaser-provider split. This means a system whereby the purchaser of health services for the population is not the same as the person who actually provide the services, as it is happening presently in the public healthcare system. Completion of the NHI policy paper and promulgation of NHI bill and formation of district health systems so that they become the purchasers of health for their population from providers, both private and public. Education is a key priority identified by this government towards addressing poverty, inequality, as envisioned in the NDP 2030. The NDP thus put a special focus on access to quality education outcomes. Early childhood development plays an important role in laying a solid foundation for children during early stages of their lives, which consequently results into citizens prepared to deal with the challenges facing the country and also ensure that there is positive overall human development and progress of the country. The National Development Plan envisions that by 2030, a full comprehensive age and developmental stage appropriate package of quality early childhood development services is available to all infants, toddlers, and their caregivers. Comprehensive early childhood development program consists of essential components, namely programs on healthcare and nutrition, social protection, parental support, and opportunities for learning and playing. The program also provides care, shelter, and educational needs for children between ages of 0 and 4 years. Mothers are able to look for work opportunities or work knowing that their kids are looked after. In the current financial year, ECD increased to 42,972 children. By the end of the third quarter of the current financial year, 1.7 million children had access to ECD centers. Currently, the country has 16,088 fully registered ECD centers. 9,272 of these centers are conditionally registered, which brings the total number of fully registered and conditionally registered ECDs to 25,360. We encourage those centers that are not yet established with government to do so. This will help them to access government subsidy so they can provide comprehensive and holistic ECD services and programs. Additional amount of 812 million in the form of additional grant has been allocated to to ECD over the MTEF. The amount of the subsidy is 15 rand per child for 264 days across the province. To date, we are proud of the progress made with regards to schools built as part of the Accelerated Schools Infrastructure Development Initiative and the provincial program. ACD aims to replace schools in the country built from inappropriate materials. A total of 173 inappropriate structures have been eradicated through the ACD program. Since 2011-2012 financial year, 722 new and replacement schools have been provided through the provincial program, through the provincial programs. In total, 895 schools now provide a conducive learning environment for our children. Okay, ACD has done 722 new schools, and provincial departments have also contributed towards this. The results of the trends in international mathematics and science study and the Southern and Eastern African Consortium for Monitoring Educational Quality show that the performance of South African learners is improving. Amongst the participating countries, South Africa has shown the largest improvement of 87 points in mathematics and 90 points in science. The preliminary trend in international mathematics and science study for okay, the preliminary SACMEQ for study results further affirmed an upward trend and has shown for the first time South African learners at grade 6 level achieved mathematics scores above the significant center point of 500 points. Since the advent of democracy in 1994, South African schools have become more inclusive, and the gap between the top performing schools and the other school is reducing. Performing trends since 2009 confirm that many more youth have access to a school qualification than 7 years ago. We are making progress on basic education outcomes. The National Senior Certificate examinations show that African learners are improving in their performance in mathematics and physical science. In 2016, 33,511 learners obtained a mark of 60% and above in mathematics. Of this figure, 19,790 were African learners. In case of physical science, 28,511 obtained a mark of 60% and above, and 18,732 were African learners. The aforementioned performance is evidenced to the growth of greater stability in curriculum implementation, and the focus going forward will be on professional development of teachers driven by our 140 teacher centers in all the 9 provinces. Honorable ministers, South Africa needs strong skilled human capital that will implement the country's economic development strategies to reignite the economy and create much needed jobs. We want our youth to be skilled and trained so that they can participate in the critical areas of the economy. This year, in the wake of a difficult end to the 2016 academic year, the Minister of Higher Education and Training held a series of robust engagements with key stakeholders, including university vice chancellors, student leadership, college principals, and unions, reiterating the importance of open dialogue and for all stakeholders to work together to ensure stability in the system and the success of the academic year. The meetings discussed a wide range of issues relating to the readiness of the system for the 2017 academic year and the various interventions to assist university and TVET students financially in 2017. There was a strong emphasis on government's commitment to funding the 2017 fee adjustments for poor, working class, and the missing middle students at universities and TVET colleges whose family incomes are below the 600,000 ceiling. In this regard, government's fee adjustment grant is allocated to assist students who come from poor, working class, and so-called missing middle households to pay their fee increases of up to 8% on the 2017 fees. This will be the first time in the history of post-school education and training that families with income levels above the NSFAS threshold but still find post-school education difficult to afford will be assisted. In order to qualify for the grant, university students must apply for the 2017 fee adjustment grant through a form obtainable from the institutions. The grant will benefit more than 75% of university and TVET college students. And in some institutions, more than 90% of students will benefit. Approximately half of the grant will be paid by government to universities in the first quarter of the year to assist them with their cash flows. Through NSFAS, the registration fees for all NSFAS-funded students are paid as an upfront payment to universities and TVET colleges in January each year. Therefore, NSFAS qualifying students will not pay any registration or upfront fees in 2017. Furthermore, all NSFAS qualifying students who were registered in 2016 and were successful in their studies, but who may have accumulated student debt with institutions of higher learning will be allowed to register in 2017. All other students will be expected to pay their upfront registration fees for 2017. All universities and colleges will develop humane and transparent debt management and relief processes to assist academically successful missing middle students who have outstanding student debt to register in 2017 where this is possible. Students who are academically deserving and struggling financially to pay their registration fees or outstanding debt must engage their university's finance office to agree upon a repayment plan. The financial sustainability of the quality of universities will be at risk if students do not pay their fees and outstanding debts. Therefore, institutions have been requested to manage student debt through fair and transparent debt management policies and processes in order to ensure that outstanding student debt is recovered over a reasonable and mutually acceptable period of time, in line with the provisions of the National Credit Act. All NSFAS qualifying students from the 2016 first-time entering cohort should only be registered in 2017 if they have signed their loan agreement forms. Universities need to ensure that this is done during registration. Students who do not sign their agreements so that their fees can be released and paid to institutions cannot be registered. The president stated in the SONA that the property sector in our country is valued at approximately 7 trillion rand, with the subsidized sector being valued at 1.5 trillion rand. He, however, highlighted that Less than 5% is owned or managed by black people or Africans in particular. This is, however, about to be changed as the Department of Human Settlements is currently working on a draft property practitioners bill which repeals the current Estate Agency Affairs Act of 1976 to establish a more inclusive representative property sector. The bill strives to create an enabling environment to enhance economic activity within the real estate market, which includes residential, commercial, and industrial property. It further aims to establish a more inclusive representative sector that conforms to the radical economic transformation agenda. There is a need to enhance compliance and enforcement to ensure transformation with the sector and to regulate the conduct and behavior of property practitioners. The bill has been presented to various committees and cabinet's approval is being sought to publish it for public comments during the course of the year. On title deeds, government over the next 2 years will prioritize registration and issuing of title deeds to beneficiaries of housing projects to address the increasing delays and backlogs in the system. The deeds office has been established to look at how best we can accelerate this process. The process of amalgamating through three human settlement development finance institutions, that is Rural Housing Loan Fund, National Housing Finance Corporation, and National Urban Reconstruction Housing Agency, into Human Settlements Development Bank, is at a final stage and will be launched in the new financial year. Protection and rehabilitation of South Africa's natural assets will lead to vibrant, equitable, and sustainable communities contributing to food security for all. The Department of Water and Sanitation is hard at work in response to the President's directive to arrest the loss of 36% of the country's potable water by training 15,000 water agents, artisans, and plumbers. The Department of Water and Sanitation appointed Rand Water and the Energy and Water Services Sector Education and Training Authority as implementing agents for the War on Leaks project. This work started in 2015 with the first intake of 3,000 trainees, the second intake 7,000 trainees, and was in 2016 and the last intake 7,000 trainees in 2016 and the last intake of 5,000 between May and June 2017. The training is scheduled for 5 years and therefore will be completed by 2020. This will allow the envisaged absorption of most of the trainees by the different municipalities where most of the infrastructure failures occur. Water conservation is critical for the security of supply for all socio-economic activities and development. As such, the training will culminate in the registration of plumbers, artisans with relevant professional bodies, which will open opportunities far beyond just working for government. Government runs effective poverty alleviation programs to protect the vulnerable groups and citizens from the worst effects of poverty. Social development sector has been allocated 457 billion rand over a period of 3 years, starting from 2016-2017 financial year. Social grants now reach close to 17 million people, mainly older persons and children. Many families would not be able to put food on the table if it were not for social grants. a total of 9.3 learners in 20,744 schools benefit from National School Nutrition Program. No fee payment schools comprise of 87.5 of schools nationally, which means that over 9.7 million learners attending 20,760 schools do not pay school fees. The SASSA payment system presents an opportunity for the empowerment of local communities through local economic development. It has been reported that government will not be able to pay social grants after March this year. We would like to take this opportunity and reassure South Africans, in particular social grant beneficiaries, that government will, through SASSA, continue its constitutional mandate to administer and pay social grants after March 2017. Expanded Public Works Program created over 2 million work opportunities for period April 2014 to December 2016. It is important to note that numbers cannot start to quantify the impact of the EPWP in our communities. For instance, the Working on Fire teams that assisted in firefighting operations in various parts of the Western Cape in January 2017 contributed in saving lives, protecting property, as well as conserving our vegetation in areas such as Stilbaai and others. A number of school children are currently being assisted with their school homework by EPWP's school assistant participants who are placed at various schools across South Africa. The services that are afforded by EPWP participants benefiting communities across the country. There are services that are offered by EPWP participants across the country. These include social and community health services provided by community caregivers under the Departments of Health and Social Development, as well as various non-governmental organizations across South Africa. The work opportunities created through the EPWP continues to contribute immensely to the development of our communities. To achieve sustainable livelihoods for the participants in the program, government has partnered with various CETAs and private sector companies to provide EPWP participants with skills in various trades such as artisans, pharmacy assistants, small business development, as well as community caregiving. The type of training provided is aimed at ensuring that participants are armed with skills that they can use to enter the mainstream economy. Over 67% of people who found opportunities in EPWP between April and December 2016 were women, while 44.73% were youth. Most work opportunities were created in infrastructure sector at 199,000 plus, followed by environment and culture at 126 plus thousand. The social sector created 97,000 plus work opportunities, while non-sector state created plus 74,000 work opportunities. Ladies and gentlemen, we have said during the festive season, South Africans must take responsibility in living healthy lifestyles. Abuse of drugs remains a concern for all of us, and this has been reiterated by President Jacob Zuma in his State of the Nation address. As a caring government, we have put measures in place in the fight against the scourge of drug abuse. Amongst our interventions, we are establishing drug rehabilitation centers across the country. This is in line with the laws of the country and to our attempt to achieve a society free of drug abuse. According to Section 17, Subsection 1 of the Prevention of and Treatment of Abuse Act No. 70 of 2008, the Minister of Social Development must establish at least one public treatment center per province. To this effect, 7 public treatment centers have been established and already operating in Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, Western Cape, Mpumalanga, and Eastern Cape provinces. Government is also working towards completion of public treatment centers in the Free State, Northern Cape, Northwest, and Limpopo provinces. These centers are expected to be completed during the 2017-2018 financial year. The high rate of fatalities and crashes experienced on our roads remain a stubborn challenge. The countless loss of lives and people injured on our roads is a concern to our government. We continue to appeal for responsible behavior and driving on our roads. Presenting the 2016-17 preliminary report on road accidents, the Minister of Transport, Ms. Dipuo Peters, indicated that our traffic law enforcement officers conducted more than 432 roadblocks throughout the country during the past festive period and issued plus 455,000 fines for various traffic offenses. These include drunk driving and speeding drivers. Government will continue to implement ongoing campaigns to ensure that we significantly reduce road fatalities by the end of the United Nations Decade of Action for Safety Road campaign in 2020. Road fatalities cost our economy about 306 billion per annum, and we need to work together to reduce road accidents. The Road Accident Fund has steadily improved claims processing, expanded its footprint, and brought services directly to communities at their doorstep. This is despite having to cope with complex and legalistic hurdles, spiraling costs, insufficient funding to pay claims, and long-standing insolvency. Beyond the money, the value of the fund's claim payments has touched lives, evidenced by the fact that over 8,414 funeral claims were paid in the year under review. However, reducing the frequency, severity, and impact of accidents remain the fund's highest priority, as the estimated cost of road crashes to South Africa's economy remains staggeringly high at an estimated billions per annum. A complete overhaul of the system and new dispensation as proposed by the Department of Transport through the Road Accident Benefit Scheme will address the fault-based, unfair, and unsustainable system the RAF has inherited as defined by the RAF Act. A total of 424 million worth of fraudulent claims were identified before payment was made, and 391 people were arrested with 231 convicted for fraud against the RAF. In an effort to combat fraud, the Road Accident Fund has reviewed its internal processes, enabling us to identify potentially fraudulent claims and preventing perpetrators from committing fraud against the RAF. However, we still need your help in combating the scourge. Whistleblowers guaranteed will be protected. And then there is a hotline tip of a phone. The RAF will continue transforming its delivery record whilst ensuring those who have been injured or lost loved ones in vehicle accident are cared for. As government, we remain committed to delivering services that will improve the quality of lives of all South Africans. We are committed to the goals set out in the National Development Plan. We are fully aware that challenges still remain, but as government, we are doing all we can do so as to bring a better life for all. I thank you.